Tool bag that we can reach in and use at various times. Drishti is used, it can be used when we're doing asana. So, okay, when we close our eyes and we're doing various asana poses, we can do a lot of them with the eyes closed, okay? It's also an aid for getting us deeply into meditation, okay? Because the drishti is a tool that we use to go inward. During most of our day, our eyes are open. We're getting all kinds of visual stimuli bombarding us. We're focused on where we're going to go, what we're going to do, who's done what to us, whatever. Just our attention just scattered from here to the end of time, right? Well, the spiritual journey obviously is an inward journey, and to get inward, the drishti is a tool to help us to get there, to focus our attention inward. I heard the other day that the visual cortex of the brain takes up about a third of the brain, so that tells you how important the visual sense is. Other senses. Take up a much smaller amount of the physical space of the brain. And then processing what we're seeing takes up another third of the brain, roughly. So the visual part of our brain is very big, it's active, it's important. So if we want to turn inward, somehow we've got to block off everything that's kind of going on out there, and we use the drishtis to do that, and we have, about five that we use primarily in Kundalini Yoga. There are probably more, but...
Can you guide them what page or where they can find that?
Yes, on page, I think it's 136? Yeah, page 136 of the AT manual. We'll tell you list the five main drishtis and basically what they do. We can go through those later on. You can read about them and what they do later. But basically, I want to mention that the drishtis are associated with two of the eight limbs of yoga. The two being pratyahara, which is withdrawal from the senses. We do that just by closing our eyes. The visual cortex of the brain, when we close our eyes, it just doesn't go dead, it's just that the focus is, when we close our eyes, it has to go somewhere, so it goes inward. That's where we want it to go, right? And then drishti is also associated with the fifth limb of yoga, which is concentration. So we close our eyes, it takes us inward, our awareness goes inward, and then we concentrate that awareness wherever we choose to do so. Now, it may be at the third eye, maybe at the tip of the nose, maybe at the chin, maybe at the crown of the head, or there's another one where we just open our eyes one-tenth, or close our eyes 90%. However you want to look at that one, okay? Those are the main ones we use. And we can go in more into the detail of how these drishtis, the different effects that each of these drishtis has. But right now what I'd like you to do is let's experiment with this for just a moment. Let's let's come sitting up nice and tall, okay, like we're going to get into a meditation. And we're going to root in, rise up, lengthen the spine, all right? And we're going to relax. And we're going to relax our shoulders back and down. We're going to apply a gentle neck lock. We're going to softly close our eyes. We're going to start to connect with the breath, all right? For right now, don't focus on the breath. Be focused on just connecting with your body, your breath. Begin to soften the muscles of the face, the neck, the shoulders. Breathing gently, deeply. Letting the eyes become very relaxed. Letting the jaw become unclenched. And now, I'd like you to just open your eyes 1/10 of the way, just so you don't really, can't really focus on anything out there, but you're just kind of seeing the light coming up. Notice how that is different from when your eyes are fully closed. So now let them go closed all the way. Take a few long, slow, deep breaths and just pay attention to what's going on that visual screen, movie screen that you see when your eyes close or are partially open. And now close your head. With your eyes closed all the way, gently focus your inner gaze towards the bridge of your nose, the center of your nose, and then upward towards the brow point. We're going gently going inwards and upwards, staying also aware of the breath. Find that place as you go up towards the brow point where you are not feeling any real stress or tension. If your eyes begin to kind of quiver, maybe you're focused a little bit too high, just soften it, back out a little bit. Find that sweet spot. It's going to be different for everybody, so just kind of find where that sweet spot is, where you're able to focus your concentrated attention. Do your best to keep your awareness on that focus, that point, that single point. Now your mind will begin to wander. You can hear my voice. You're also aware of your breath. You're aware of what's going on around you. But as these other senses are all still employed, you can still keep coming back to that one single point. Let's take just a few moments to just do our very best to focus there. Feel your body. Feel anything that comes up. As thoughts come into your mind, we don't try to stop the thoughts from coming into our mind. We just stay unattached to them. Let them float by like clouds float by, come and go through in the sky. Still closed, let the inner focus come down to the tip of the nose and let the eyes be open about 1/10, looking down towards the tip of the nose. Again, looking down at the tip of your nose causes stress or tension on your optical nerve. Back off just a little bit. Soften the gaze a little bit. And find that beautiful sweet spot, whatever is right for you. Do some experimentation. Find what really works best for you. The main thing is not so much where you focus, but how you focus. Remember, the process is to bring you inward. That is what we're after. We can worry and worry about, oh, am I doing this right? Am I doing it? If you're not doing it right, well, don't worry about whether or not you're doing it right. Just do it. It'll find itself. The more you do it, the easier it becomes. And a beautiful thing is it's always going to be changing. Now, gently look with your eyes closed. Look all the way up. As far as you can look up, like you're looking out the crown of your head, your eyes will open just naturally a little bit. Just look up. This one might be tough for some people because of the strain on the optical nerve. But just if you find it difficult, just close your eyes and start again. Find that place where it's not difficult, where it's just looking up, relaxing the muscles of your face and neck. Take a couple deep breaths here. And now close your eyes, let go of that drishti, and look down towards the chin. Don't let the eyes open wide, just look down towards the chin, keeping the head and neck level straight. Experience what this feels like, looking down, and then release that drishti and sit with the eyes closed for just a moment. To feel and see the difference in those, just from that little short practice. So each of the drishtis has a different effect. Like when we're focusing on the third eye, for instance, at the Ajna chakra, the sixth chakra, it's stimulating the pituitary gland and awakening, helping to awake our intuition. And you can read more about what the different drishtis do. But I would say this. Experiment with this, because everybody's going to have a little bit different experience. And, you know, share what you experience with other people. I love focusing at the third eye point. But I also love the tip of the nose. I used to really not like the tip of the nose, but I found out that I really do like it. It's a beautiful place to focus once you can find that place that's that sweet spot where you can just meld into. Because sometimes when the eyes are just gently open, you can stay present. When the eyes are all the way closed, you may notice that you go into a dream state almost, and your mind starts going. If you find your mind going, you know, you're having a hard time slowing your mind down, open your eyes just a little bit, and it'll bring you right back to where you want it to be, to where you feel that you need to be. And then experiment with it. Try it. See what works best for you. Okay? That's, we can go in. into a lot more detail about this. You could spend all day talking about it. But I want you to have that experience and then share it with others. Okay. So I don't know how I'm doing on time because I...
Perfectly
on time. Is it? Okay. Cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Today to share with you about mudras, so what we do with our hands. And in Kundalini yoga or meditations, I at least find it very easy to get caught up in the mantra and the music and to forget my root lock and my mudras. And so mudra means seal, like S-E-A-L, not like the animal, but like sealing something closed. And our hands are a map of our bodies, of our consciousness, of our emotions. And Priya shared before that when we're in utero, when we're a fetus, we start with our hands, they like grow out of the same matter that our brains grow out of, and then they separate. And so just like there's a map of our body along our brain, there's a map of our body in our hands. And so in Kundalini yoga, we use this to our advantage, because there's like levers. So you can move your hands in different ways to create different effects. It's almost like having a keyboard to create a specific mental or emotional effect that we're looking for. And so we'll practice a few, so you can go through them. Did I already say this is page 105 and 106? You don't need to look at your book, but in case you want to re-reference it. Everything I'm going to share is written there, so I don't think you need to worry about taking notes unless you like to. So when we do the mudras, so bring up your pointer finger and thumb finger for your Gyan mudra. And press so hard that it gets white. And so that's too hard. You don't want your nail to be white. But you also don't want them to just be touching. And this is what, when I get lazy about it, mine will just kind of be gently touching. So find a point of pressure where it's not white yet, but you can feel that you're like connecting to energy sources and now there's a pathway. Because that's essentially what we're doing when we do our mudras. Everybody got that? So too hard, too soft, there's like a gentle in between. Okay, so we're going to practice some of the most common mudras that we use. So bring yourself into your comfortable seat. Heart is open, shoulders are rested. If you need to open your eyes, you can. So we'll start with Gyan Mudra. So we're pressing our pointer finger to thumb finger. The other fingers are straight, and you can bring them down on your knees. Experiment with straightening your elbows, and just see if that creates a difference. So close your eyes. Let's breathe deeply, inhaling deeply. Exhaling, and just see if you can feel what I'm describing and know that if you're not feeling it, it's still happening anyway. So this mudra is called Gyan Mudra, and it's our seal of knowledge. This stimulates knowledge, wisdom, and the power to compute. The index finger is associated with Jupiter, which represents expansion. This mudra helps bring receptivity and calmness. Now, this is the passive version of Gyan Mudra. So if you blink open your eyes, we're going to transition. And you can bring your pointer finger, comes into the second knuckle of your thumb. And then it creates a little lock there. And so bring your finger into that position. It's actually hard for me to keep my other finger straight. So your pointer finger is in the second knuckle of your thumb, almost like an okay sign. And then come back into your seated posture, straight elbows. And you can apply a little pressure with the pointer finger to the back of the thumb. And this is called an active version of Gyan Mudra. So closing your eyes, taking deep breaths. This is often used when we do particularly powerful pranayama and exercises. And if you can transition with keeping your eyes closed, please do so. So we'll move to Surya or Ravi Mudra. So instead of the thumb and pointer finger, press the thumb and middle finger together. The other fingers are straight. Elbows are straight. Taking deep breaths for Shuni Mudra. So Shuni Mudra is our seal of patience. This position gives us patience, discernment, and commitment. The middle finger is associated with Saturn, which is the taskmaster, the law of karma, and is about taking responsibility. A couple breaths here to continue to feel this mudra. Remembering to press with a medium amount of pressure. And then gently switching to the next finger, thumb and ring finger. Gentle pressure, the other fingers are straight. This is the seal of the sun or the seal of life. This mudra gives us energy, strengthens our nervous system, helps with good health, and having the power to win. Our ring finger is associated with the sun or Uranus. The sun representing energy, health, and sexuality. Uranus stands for the nervous system, strength, intuition, and change. So see if you can feel those energies as you're pressing on the ring finger. Gently moving into Bodhi Mudra, the thumb and the pinky finger pressing. Again, maintaining consistent pressure, the other fingers straight, seeing if you can, sometimes the other fingers don't stay straight in this one. Seeing if you can keep your elbows straight. This is the seal of mental clarity. It opens the capacity to communicate clearly and with intuition. It helps stimulate our psychic development. Our little finger is symbolized by Mercury for quickness and mental power of communication. Beautiful. Now bring your hands together in prayer pose, Prana Mudra. So for prayer pose, we want our palms pressing together, the fingers pressing together, thumbs pressing together. And then it's actually part of the mudra that your knuckle of the thumb be in the sternum. And so a lot of people, when you're teaching or when you practice, will hold it higher, like at their heart, because that intuitively for some of us feels very good. The actual mudra is with the thumb in at the sternum. And this is the posture we use to tune in. So just close your eyes and take deep breaths in this mudra that you're so familiar with. By pressing our palms together, we are balancing the polarity between the right side and the left side. Our energizing side, our relaxing side. The masculine and the feminine. We are coming into neutral. This pressure causes the pineal and pituitary glands to secrete, creating a resonance in the brain that moves it out of its normal rhythm into a meditative state. position also allows your prayer to come from your heart. This is prayer pose. And bring your hands down and open your eyes. We have just a couple more to go. We'll do bear grip. And so, I'm not good at mirroring because I always get it backwards. Mm-hmm. So you'll have to mirror me. So you'll bring your left hand up, thumb down. Right hand up, thumb up, in front or more forward. And then you clasp the fingers together like a fist, and then the thumbs come down. So you're like holding your own hand. And then when you do exercises with this mudra, sometimes there's instructions to really squeeze, like squeeze hard. Sometimes it's gentle. And then if you experiment with the hands at the heart center and pull, so pull your elbows apart, try to pull your fingers apart. You can feel tension in your shoulders and your back. This opens your heart. And so this is another beautiful mudra that we use. So you can rest your hands. So that mudra helps, like I said, stimulate the heart and it intensifies our concentration. And there's a kriya called Basic Spinal Energy Series that you use this a lot, and it's a really beautiful kriya. And then we have two more that are actually really interesting because they're different for men and women. And so there's a hands in the lap mudra called Buddha Mudra. And so you rest one hand on top of the other with the thumbs gently touching. And for men, you'll have your right hand on top of left. For women, you'll have left on top of right. So bring yourself into this position and close your eyes. Just take a couple of deep breaths. And notice how this mudra feels to you. Does it bring a sense of calmness, humility? That's how it feels to me. It might feel different to you. And blink your eyes open. The last of the main mudras that we use is Venus grip. So this here is your Venus mound. The in between your thumb and your pointer finger. So in this grip, we interlace our fingers and you push with one thumb on the Venus mound of the opposite hand. So if you're a man, you'll interlace, your pinky will be at the bottom, and then you interlace so that your right thumb ends up on top, but you actually push with your left thumb into your right Venus mound. And women were the opposite. So your right pinky is on the bottom. Your left thumb overlaps on top. And then your right thumb pushes into the left. So your right thumb will push into the left. So it looks like that for women. Right? And then the opposite. So if you sit with this mudra, you can press into the Venus mound, and then close your eyes, and I'll share what this mudra does for you. The Venus mound is associated with the planet Venus and the energy of sensuality and sexuality. This mudra channels the sexual energy and promotes glandular balance. It also brings the ability to focus and concentrate easily when you rest your hands in your lap in this mudra. Take a few breaths, seeing if you notice those sensations. You can blink your eyes open. So I encourage you, as you do Long Ek Omkars today or tomorrow or the next day, like Long Ek Omkars, there's so much energy going on with the mantra and some of it, like I visualize spirals of energy and all this stuff going on. But try for the next few days to also pay attention to the mudra that you're holding and to apply continuous pressure and see how that shifts your practice. because they're very powerful. All these little pieces, the drishti, the mudra, the mulband, they're little and subtle, but they create a profound effect if you tie them all together. Thank you.
Satnam, everyone.
Satnam.
Now we're going to talk about relaxation.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
It's not going to be hard to do, huh? So, to start with, I'm going to bring up the question, what is relaxation?
Peace.
What else?
Surrender.
What else?
Relaxing every muscle.
Relaxing every muscle. What else?
Turning your brain off.
Allowing.
Turning your brain off.
Turning your brain off. Allowing. Very good. So, as I want to bring up questions so you could, so that could come to your awareness. And how do you know you're relaxing? How does relaxing feel to you, figuratively?
Like, no tension.
No tension, yeah.
Melting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, melting. Great, yeah. So, learning about drishti and mudras, we learn to direct the energy towards different aspects of who we are, right? And that tells us that we are a multidimensional being. And again, what does that mean to you? How did we become multidimensional?
Awareness.
Yeah, exactly.
We already are.
So you have to realize it, right? And we do that through relaxation. Relaxing. Okay? So there are three components, if you will, to deep relaxation. And you could, by the way, read all of this stuff on the pages of 116, 118 on your textbook, AT. Short chapter filled with a lot of information. But right now, I'm just going to give you my version of what deep relaxation is and the information. So we want to relax our physical body, relax our emotional body, and relax our mental body. We relax our physical body by becoming still, motionless. Relax our emotional body, bringing calmness. Relax our mental body by tapping into the neutral mind. Okay? So, getting to the deep relaxation, we need all these components. So keep that in mind. Okay? Now, when we do physical exercises, the physical kriyas, they stimulate and elevate our physiology. And that brings up, that stimulates the sympathetic nervous system, the sympathetic nerves in our body. And that happens, that brings up a lot of awareness, right? A lot of problems. So the sympathetic nervous system is there for us to be aware of the problems, you know, or challenges. Or just awareness of who we are, what state of the consciousness we're in at that moment. And if you get stuck in that, then, you know, we're dwelling in that negativity. A lot of us in the modern days, in modern society, you learn to, how do we relax? How do, you know, and not us, right? We know how to relax now, but people out there, how do they relax? How do we, you know, in modern society, how do you think they relax?
Drinking.
Watching TV is like...
Watching TV.
Yeah.
Exactly. Those are the what I wrote down here. Drinking, watching TV, eating.
Yeah.
Right? Eating. Emotional eating, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's not relaxation. What is that?
Skating.
Yeah.
Skating.
Skate.
Numbing.
What else?
Numbing.
Numbing.
And stimulation.
and further stimulation, so we keep dwelling in that negativity, right?
Mindlessness.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, escape. So we want to get in apart from that consciousness that we created, constantly computing, processing, determining, planning, all the stuff we're doing, right? So we learn here to utilize our parasympathetic nervous system. And that, the parasympathetic nervous system gives us the alternative, the solution to the problem. So the balancing between the two helps us, the awareness that we brought up now, how to deal with it, the answers. Right? So the answers are within us. We learn that. We tap into our center, that centeredness within us to bring up the answers to tapping into the parasympathetic nervous system. That's the only way we really truly bring up the answers for ourselves. So there, as we, you know, as was shared with us, there are different techniques that we have. So we need to learn the process as teachers how to bring about that state of deep relaxation. Again, we Kundalini Yoga, we do the physical exercises to stimulate and work the physical body, our physical existence, which is our organs, our glands, nervous system, our muscles, right? And we do the meditations to directly work with the mind. Mind is not the brain. Mind is a product of the processing of the brain, right? We work to clear the mind. It all works together. Now we relax, we get into that deep relaxation to connect with our soul. Bring it all together for ourselves. Tapping into the heart center. That's where the soul resides. Okay? So, when we do, you know, as we do the practice, as we tap into our own consciousness about what deep relaxation is and incorporate it in our own practice, it develops a certain intuition within us. So we know when we do different kriyas about chakras, about different parts of what these, what parts of the body, organs, and glands that the kriya specifically is designed for. We learn how to apply that relaxation between kriyas. You could read your book, you know, the different kriyas that are good for relaxing between kriyas, or just simply sitting, you know, spine straight, Dhyan mudra, or other mudras, if it applies to different, whatever that kriya is that you're doing, becomes intuitive for you. As teachers, as you're, you know, interacting energy-wise and from other subtle aspects of who you are with your students, you learn how to give that relaxation between kriyas or not, and how to direct your deep relaxation towards the end. Right? So, it's, again, it's a process that you want to get comfortable with, you want to learn, you want to experience it yourself. Knowing the purpose of it. What's the purpose of deep relaxation? Again, it's tapping into the center of who I am. Allowing that prana to circulate within the body. Allowing the light. These are not just words. These are feelings. These are experiences that you gain. So what is relaxation? What is relaxation?
Connecting.
What else?
Peaceful.
How do you get peace from connection? How do you get peace from connection? How do you get peaceful?
Stillness.
And in that stillness, you gotta let go. You gotta surrender. Bless you. So, relaxation is letting go, is surrendering, and therefore you're allowing, notice before any meditation, before any mudra, anything we do, we relax first. We have the tools, right? Our fingers, our tongues, our ears, our nose is a tool for us to relax. That's the purpose. Keep that and apply it for your own practice. And again, as you connect to your students, as you teach, you get the feeling of what is needed at the time. Right? How do you put them in deep relaxation? Again, the components are physical, emotional, mental relaxation. So the words you use, the suggestions you give, are very powerful in deep relaxation. The suggestions you give yourself, that's self-talk, positive self-talk, puts you in that state of homeostasis. And through your own consciousness, you expand that for yourself. Using the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system. Nothing is about us is wrong or bad. Nothing. We have negative mind, positive mind, we have a neutral mind. Through the coordination of the two, you get into a neutral mind. And that's how you tap in to your centeredness. That's how you bring your mind, body, and soul into alignment to connect your spirit, your spiritual self. So let's do that. Please come lying down. Come lying down and a short relaxation, so I'm going to try to get you deep as quick as I can in 30 seconds. Take a deep inhale.
You can take about 2 minutes.
Exhale. And now bring your arms on the side, palms facing up. Your feet, ankles are not crossed. Head is on the flat surface. And now, take a deep inhale and hold the breath in. Bring your focus and attention to your toes. Squeeze the muscles between your toes and below the knees. Only those muscles. Bring your focus and attention there. Squeeze and tight. Exhale and release and let go. Allow yourself to go deeper. Allowing. Each time you do this, you allow yourself to go 10 times deeper than the time before. And now bring your attention and focus to your thigh muscles. Inhale deep. Hold the breath in. Squeeze only the thigh muscles. The rest of the body is relaxed. See if you could do the separation here. Your focus. Squeeze tight. Exhale and release and relax and go even deeper. Letting go. Feel how that letting go feels right now at this moment. See if you are aware how even a slight shift of relaxation in the lower legs. Bring your focus and attention to your abdominal muscles. And only the abdominal muscles now. Inhale deep, hold the breath in. Tight and squeeze and tighten the abdominal muscles. Apply pressure. Tighter. Exhale, release and let go. Now bring your focus and attention to your chest muscles and your arms, biceps, triceps, forearms, and inhale deep. Hold the breath in and squeeze the muscles. Your arms, your biceps, triceps, and your chest muscles. Apply pressure to your heart center.
exhale and release and let go. And now breathe deeply. Exhale through the mouth. Just let go, relax the jaw muscles. And as you breathe normally, allow just softness, calmness, relaxation to enter the body as you continue to breathe normally. Each inhale brings more peace, more centeredness, more prana into the body. And your focus and attention allow this energy to move around in the body. Bring the relaxation to your facial muscles. Feel the relaxation moving towards the back of the neck, towards the back of the head. As it comes up to the top of the head, massaging the scalp. As it moves towards the forehead, feel all the tension released from the head, top of the head. Your eyes, ears, nose, lips, all very relaxed. Your body is becoming like a sponge. Very relaxed, very calm. Allowing yourself to go deeper and deeper. Feel this relaxation moving down the spine, spreading throughout the rest of the body, all the nerves, all the muscles, every cell in the body, relaxing, going deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper. Now gently breathe yourself back into your body. Wiggle your toes and your fingers. Rotate your wrists and your ankles one direction, then the other. Bring the arms above the head. Reach the arms up. Point the toes. Relax. Take the body up. Rub your hands and your feet together. Inhale, bring the knees to the chest, pull the knees towards the chest, give it a good pull, rock side to side, rock back and forth on the spine 3 to 5 times, and come on up. Alright. How do you feel refreshed? Saddam.
Saddam.
So we have public class here in about 10 minutes. So can you check how many people might